What's up, y'all? This is Tony Powell, and you're listening to Powell to the People, the podcast, episode 271. Once again, the finest cast in all of podcasting has reconvened to talk that stuff. When I want to talk New York City transit, what expert do I go to? Whose information do I mine? None other than my cousin, Mr. Keith Powell. Keith Powell's not here, but we'll talk about that in just a second. When I want to talk local TV news, there is absolutely no expert I have more faith in than my brother, Mr. Mark Powell. What's going on, Mark?
What's up, family? What's up, world?
And when I want to talk local New York City real estate, there is absolutely no one I have more faith in than the man they call Mr. Eddie Kane Jr. World calls him Derek Powell. His flock calls him Bishop. Reverend Dr. Derek Powell. What's going on, DP?
Everything is good. Always good to be in the cypher with you cats. How you guys doing?
Well, we're fine. We're fine. There's three of us today, and I will kind of let our audience behind the scenes to see what's going on. You know, there are, I thought about it today, there were maybe three words that we take with incredible seriousness. When they say the word serious as a heart attack. You know, we take that word. So you take, if somebody says, I'm serious, it's a heart attack. Heart attacks are serious. We know that it has weight and has volume. Serious is cancer. That's another one we hear all the time and we take very, very seriously. And there's another ailment that has the same kind of whisper past the graveyard feel about it. And that is any cardiovascular event that includes a stroke. Now, I say that to say that all of these are matters of degree. You know, some of us, if you go to the doctor and you say, Doc, I got a mole on my shoulder and it looks kind of weird. Can you check it out? And the doctor looks at it and they biopsy and they say, hey, man, you know what? It's skin cancer. But listen, good news. We cut the mole out when you were here last week. So we're just going to monitor it and you're going to be okay. Well, that's cool. Or, you know, you have symptoms of a heart attack, but you're not really sure. You think maybe it's indigestion or you didn't feel well or something didn't feel right. And you go check out the doctor and the doctor says, yes, you had a mild heart attack. So we're going to change our treatment protocols and you're going to have to make some lifestyle adjustments. In the case of stroke, sometimes we don't really get a warning sign. In fact, the warning is the stroke itself. That something is wrong. And in our situation, our case, our loved one, Keith, suffered a mild neurological vascular event last week. He suffered he had a stroke. He had a mini stroke. Apparently the MRI said he had a mini stroke. Now, before anybody freaks out, for all intents and purposes, Keith has dodged the proverbial bullet. He felt the symptoms, and I'm going to go over what some of the symptoms are. He felt the symptoms, and thank God that his wife was there and acted very quickly, got him to the hospital, called the ambulance, got him to the hospital that he went to, a local hospital where he lives, saw fit to get him on the air ambulance helicopter, and then flew him from there to a trauma center that can handle him. Now he arrived at the hospital and, you know, after a few minutes of them checking him up and down, you know, they realized, well, wow, wait a second. I mean, most people, when they come in for a stroke, I guess doctors have expectations about what they're going to see. And I think I told him yesterday that he kind of freaked the doctors out because what they were expecting to see hasn't happened. Yes, he suffered a little confusion and he's a little woozy. But motor function is fine. And, from what we're being told, he's going to be okay. He's going to be, you know, full recovery. He'll just have to, you know, play a lot more crossword puzzles to rebuild that lost piece of, gray matter. And that's another thing people, I didn't know. I'm learning this. Apparently when you have a stroke, whether it's severe or mild, I mean, that your brain suffers damage. It's almost like a necrosis. Parts of your brain die. But because we only use a small part of our brain, depending on the level of damage, other parts of your brain will compensate for the lost part. So for him, because it was such a minor thing. I mean, it was like a pinprick hemorrhage or clot. There's not really a lot of damaged brain tissue. So, you know, it's not like he's you know, having speech issues or ambulatory issues, you know. And again, every time you say stroke, we know, everyone knows somebody who's had that, had a stroke. Everybody knows somebody who's had a heart attack. Everybody knows somebody, especially at our age, who's had cancer. You know, the good news is that he is going to be okay. Let me just give you the list of things since we're living it, of things to look for. Signs and symptoms of what he has is a thing called patent foramen, F-O-R-A-M-E-N, oval, P-F-O, as it's commonly called. It's everybody is born with a small hole in the upper ventricles of their heart chamber. Everybody. As you grow older, those holes close. But in some cases, those holes don't close. And so apparently it affects, 25% of people worldwide. And 30 to 40% of people who have had an unexplained stroke, which would be, in our case, Keith. So he's one of those people that has this hole that he's had it his whole life. He's never been aware of it, but he just learned of this as they've done a battery of tests on him, trying to figure out what was causing and what was driving his situation. And that's what happens. I mean, you know, it's something, you know, people, as I said, 25% of people worldwide, a lot of people living with it right now, not aware of it and won't know, or won't be aware of it until something, God forbid, happens. Nothing may ever happen in some of these cases, in a lot of these cases. But in his particular case, he's going to have to be mindful of it and probably be on some form of blood thinners for you know, duration. I mean, as a form of therapy, just to keep him from, you know, clotting. But for him, it won't be a big deal because he doesn't shave anyway. He's got the big beard, so he'll be fine. So we'll have to worry about cutting himself shaving. But yeah, I mean, that's really what it is, and it's you know, when it happens to a peer, you know, especially when that peer is a brother, is a cousin, is a friend, you know, a husband, a father, you know, a grandfather, you know, an uncle. When it happens, it's a stunner for everybody. So, you know, last week we heard this, and I gotta say this too, because I know my people listen. And I'm talking about, when I say my people, I'm talking about my son and my cousin's son, my cousin, my nephew cuz, who were the first ones to disseminate this information to me. Now, mind you, I'm out. I get a text, casual as casual can be. You know. Oh, by the way, Keith had a stroke. Say what now? And then when you text back, to find out what's going on.
Silence.
You don't hear nothing for like an hour. You know? You know, I'm sitting there trying to figure out, well, what do I do? Where do I go? And I start texting everybody. I texted Derek. And, you know, I guess you were probably trying to figure out what to do to get information. And then I texted Mark, you know, and he's the same way. He's getting information. I'm getting the information third hand. Yeah, and then I finally text the son, your nephew, Derek. I finally get him on. And he's like, no, he's cool. I talked to him last night. He's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so, okay, well, that's good. That's good news. You know, he said, you know, he went and he had a little thing. They airlifted him. I said, they did what now?
Right.
They airlifted him.
Yeah.
Now, everybody knows, you hear the terms airlifted.
That's major.
And stroke.
That's major.
That's not a good sign. That's not everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Go on about your day. Right. Moment, but that's what it was in this particular case. And then, your nephew and my son are close. They're close. I mean, your nephew acts sort of like a big brother and a comrade in arms. And so he was the one that told my son, who eventually told me. And then I text my son trying to get information. And he's giving me erroneous information, like, well, yeah, he'll probably be out this afternoon. I'm saying, how is he going to be out this afternoon? They just airlifted him Right. You know, because the hospital he went to said, we can't do nothing about this.
We can't help you here. Mm-hmm. We can't help you. That's, and that's, I'm going to blame my brother, even though he's laid up. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Keith called me Friday morning. And he's real nonchalant about it. You know, and he's sounding, like I told you, he sounds like the regular Keith. But remember, I talked to Carmen, and then I talked to his younger daughter, who's there. And they're following behind the ambulance. So I'm like, okay. So he's like, yo, you know, I'm okay. You know, I told Carmen you ain't got to come down here today. And I said, okay. You know, and I said, you sure? Yeah, I'm good. You know, and he just sounds a little muffled, right? So I said, well, I know I had some stuff to do earlier. I do what I got to do. And around 12, I called Carmen because now I need to get the real story. The minute my sister-in-law says he lost oxygen to the brain, I said, okay, I'm going to go home and get my other car. I'm on my way because it's no need to talk to him no more. It's like a waste of time. And Corey, they have this similar personality where the world can be falling down around them. Man, shit, it's love. It's all love out here. We good. But that's the way my brother related to me. So I know he related to Corey. Because when Corey calls me, he's nonchalant, but I know better. You know, and I'm like, you know, okay, cool. And once I talk to Carmen, and she starts giving you what the doctor says, and then she throws this in this. And that's her husband. She says she loves him. Well, you can't listen to him. You know, with that attitude, you can't listen to him. I said, baby, I'm on my way, man. I mean, in no time. And I get there because I had to see him. He looked great. And I'm like, because you don't know what you're going to see. And I get there. Right. You know, he got ESPN on. And we were talking on the phone driving down. He doesn't know I'm coming. So I'm talking on the phone as I'm walking into the room. Oh, man, what are you doing here? I said, yo, I don't trust you, man. I don't trust you. Because I'm not getting the proper information from nobody. Carmen, Corey, you, I don't know what's going on. And then once I sat with him and spoke with him, he said, I'm great.
Just to fill in, yeah. Carmen is the wife, Corey's the
Carmen's
son.
Right, Carmen's the wife, Corey's the son. What is amazing is he still had like the same, you know, I'd have been freaking out. I know I am, man. Like, yo, man, this, you know, we got to do some more, get some doctors. But he didn't have any tubes or anything in him. He's watching ESPN. I said, well, did you eat anything? Nah, man, they said they're going to bring me something. I said, okay, do you want me to get you something? Nah, I said, no. It ain't like that. You can't get up. The kitchen get ready to close. So I asked, they said, yo, man, my brother ain't eat. Can we get him? Oh, I didn't know he didn't eat. And I'm looking at him. He said, they're going to bring you something. He don't even know you didn't eat. So they bring the food in. And of course, you know how Keith eats. Keith doesn't tell the full story because I asked him, what did you eat the day before? This is a quote, and you've seen Keith eat. Y'all seen him at, we go out the roof, what is it, Amy Roof's. I had only two White Castle sliders. I said, so wait a minute. You're trying to tell me you only had two, and then he threw in, oh, they were double. I said, okay, now that makes sense. So he had two double sliders, and then he had some sort of crazy pizza slice with pepperoni, onions, and chicken, and sausage. And I'm like, yo, you can't be doing this to yourself. Nah, man, but that ain't really affect me. I said, we don't know what affected you until we find out exactly, you know, what they're saying, you know, and we need to go there. And that's when we finally get the information today. But he's been antsy since I saw him because he's feeling, I'm good. I need to get out of here. But I'm like, okay, but there's a reason why you here. I know you want to go home.
That they haven't discharged you. There's a reason they haven't discharged you. They still don't know.
They got to get the root cause. We need the root cause of why we here. But, you know, his concern is, yeah, man, I got up and, you know, shaved. And I'm, you know, just in case I get some visitors. And I'm like, nigga, who really cares how you look? You're trying to get well and get home, man. But that's why I said the way Corey reported it has a lot to do with my dear loving brother, who to me, that it's less than 24 hours and I'm on the horn, how he downplays this. And I'm like, it's a stroke. I don't know how we could downplay this. This is serious business here.
Exactly.
Exactly. And he prided himself prior to that, he's never been on any meds.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, when he's got like, you know, a headache or something like that. He's prided. He's 63. He'll be 64 this year. But I said, well, you know, probably some Johnson Baby Absin or something they got to do to keep that blood thin, man, if not an official pill.
The scary thing is when I talked to him, the symptoms were no symptoms that would alarm him because
facts.
He said he was in New York. He came back. I think he said it stopped at 8. But he said before he left, he had a headache. He had a migraine. He said he has migraines before. And I've had migraines.
Yes.
I have.
He has them regular. Yeah.
Migraines are, I guess, photosensitive. I'm not sure what the technical term, but mine are usually indicated or triggered by like a flash of light. Like people in this house, I won't name anybody, but people who I'm married to and who I give birth to sometimes overreact when like there's like a, if literally there's like a flashlight going on or like, I'm like this because I know that's a trigger. And for me to shut it down, I got to close my eyes and, you know, or give myself time because that's my trigger. So he said, I had a migraine. He said it was, and the thing he said was worse than normal. But if you have migraines, worse than normal is like a degree of, you know, one. You know, it could be, you know, if migraines are 9 and today's a 10, well, that's worse than normal. It still sucks, but you know, it doesn't alarm you as crazy as, I guess, if you never had migraines. And then that's when he got home, and that's when all the things kind of just fell apart. But that's the scariest part because like it wasn't like he was, you know, walk in and suddenly he stumbled and you know, recovered. It was none of those deals.
Well, until
he got home, that's when all things broke down. Think about it. He drove from New York to Delaware, stopped, ate all this normal activity, and the things didn't kick in until he physically got into his garage. I mean, home in his garage. And think, I mean, it's so, we're so lucky that things didn't break down anywhere along that path. Or I was, you know, talking to Kim, I said, man, just think about how many times you go home, you could have got home, conversation, I got to run to the store real quick. That's it. She goes to the store.
Well, that's what I told him. It's funny that you mentioned the migraines. And I told him, I said, you know, because same thing, Derek. I called him up after I spoke to you.
Right.
And after I spoke to his wife, you know, I was texting back and forth with her. She told me what was going on. I said, okay, fine. And then I called him later. Friday afternoon, probably, and we spoke. And I get on the phone, and he's like, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "How am I doing? I'm fine. You know, I'm all right. I'm outside. I'm not in the hospital. I'm all right too. No, you're not. You're in the hospital. How you okay? You just had a stroke. How you all right?" So that was the beginning of the conversation, and then we go, and he tells me the same thing he told Mark, and that was that he had a migraine. And I thought to myself, I said, "You know what? Those aspirin may have saved his life because aspirin acts as a blood thinner. And so the fact that it was already in his system, that he was feeling the migraine coming on, may have kept it from really being a severe clot or may have helped keep the clot that was there from coagulating even more, which would have caused all kinds of problems. And to your point, Mark, the fact that he drove, you know, 115 miles to get home.
Sure.
You know, and no incident, the fact that he didn't have, that it didn't happen on the road, that it didn't happen while he was driving, that, you know, he That's wasn't amazing. Alone in the house when he got home. All of these things were factors. And I told him, I said, listen, man, you know, I don't care what his wife Carmen wants for her birthday or Christmas.
You get it.
At this point, from here on out, you can't say nothing. I don't care what she puts in front of you. I don't care what she slaps down on the table. She points to the magazine or points to the picture. You just got to figure out a way to get it because she saved your life. There's no other way around it, no other way to say it.
She didn't play around.
Quickly.
No, she did.
Yeah, she acted quickly.
Literal lifesaver.
Yeah, no. She acted what they call fast. And I'm gonna give you what the fast symptoms. Fast is what they say you're supposed to the symptoms you're supposed to look for in a stroke. Fast is face, right? You talk to somebody, see what their face does. A is let me pull it up. A is arms. Ask the person if they can lift their arms. You know, if their arms start to drop back down, that's a bad sign. Speech, is the speech slurred? Ask them to repeat something. You know, a simple phrase, if they can do it. And then lastly, time. How long has this thing been going on? How long have you been If you see these symptoms, you got to call right away. There is no time. There's no time to waste. That's what it is. So fast is the word you need to remember. Face, yeah. Arms, speech, and then time. Once you recognize any one of those symptoms, the clock has already struck 12. You got to go. You got to call the ambulance right away. Like
window.
Right.
The face, you want to check the ambulance smile.
Right away. Right. Yeah. If you
file, if your smile is like crooked. Crooked, little Joker smile, yeah. You thumbs up. You do the whole, finger to nose deal. All those little things, you got to
smell the almonds. He's talking gibberish, whatever. If that stuff happens, then you cannot wait around. You can't waste time. It's just and here's another little tip. And Keith and I were talking about this. And I think you just mentioned it, Derek, about baby aspirin. If you're a man of a certain vintage, and we all are, and this is not just for us, but this is for anybody listening to us. If you're a certain age, if you're in your 40s or 50s, or if there's any history of high blood pressure or cardiovascular disease in your family, or strokes in your family, you should always carry a bottle of baby aspirin with you wherever you go. You should just have it. If you got a bag or in your car, wherever you have it, if you feel any of these symptoms, whether it's a heart attack or as we just described, the fast symptoms, pop a baby aspirin or two, get a couple in your system, and baby aspirin cool because you can just get it right down. You can chew them and have them in your system right away, or you can put them underneath your tongue, which is the fastest way to get aspirin into your blood system. I mean, nobody wants to put like an aspirin under their tongue. That's just a horrible, horrible taste. Yeah. But a baby aspirin, you can certainly do it. Yeah, right. I know. That will save your life. What you want? Get a soda later, or deal with this aspirin now. It's as we said, we're laughing about it now, and I know he'll be listening to the podcast.
Oh, sure,
not laugh. Sure. But he is. I think that's part of the reason they also kind of kept him in the hospital as long as they have. I mean, again, he went in there Friday. It's not long. He went in there Friday. Late Thursday night, early Friday, wee hours of Friday morning, let's say. Mm-hmm. And he's still there, and they're talking about, they finally came up with some sort of diagnosis. But I think part of them were like, yo, we have not seen this. This is not typical. The situation is not typical. We need to monitor this just in case there's something else going on. And blood clots, again, if you have poor circulation, that's another thing that people have to be mindful of. Good friend of mine, a comic I've worked with a long time, comic I worked with on the radio for a while, had what's called a pulmonary embolism. He had a blood clot in his calf. And I will say pulmonary, for people that don't know, pulmonary embolism is when you have a blood clot that goes into the lungs or across your heart. Generally speaking, the first symptom of one is death. Because most people, when it happens, it's death. It's like, oh wow, that's what happened. For him, he's walking from the garage, in the parking lot in the city where we work. This thing happens. A blood clot comes from his lower legs, flies up his system, shoots across his heart, causes his heart to stop instantly. He blacks out. Lands on his back, which almost probably dislodged the clot, which saved his life. Now, if he had fallen, forward on something and had a nice, easy, come down, maybe he's not here to talk about it. So that's what I'm saying. He'll be on this blood thinner called warfarin for the rest of his life, just to keep the clots away. And I guess that's probably, he may not want to hear this, but probably going to be, the med he has to take. And I think Derek was saying, we were talking about it off the air, like he prides himself on not taking.
Taking meds, yeah.
Taking meds.
Taking one now.
Think about it. At his age, I mean, I have a low-dose high blood pressure pill that I take, which is the only medication I take daily. But most people by this age, especially black males, have something. Right. So for the fact that he's gone this long, and then like he's active. He's had stuff. The fact he's gone this long without any kind of daily routine maintenance medicine is damn near a miracle.
It's a blessing. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, shout out to him. And, you know, we just, you know,
I'm just mad to let that out. Because if you ever had, I mean, you guys suffer from migraines?
No, I've never suffered from migraines.
I didn't know. I have two stories of migraines. I mean, I've had them. I didn't know what it was. One time I remember this. I'll never forget this. It was my sophomore year, and I was on the baseball team, and I was playing third. And suddenly, and I said, my migraines happen there, the visual. So what happens is it feels like somebody's slowly putting a frosted glass over one of my eyes. So I'm at third base, and suddenly I'm like, oh, I can't see. So I'm thinking, well, I hope nothing comes to me. Every ball came to it. I am laughing. I can't see either. I'm like just, and they're hitting rocks. I'm like, and the guys, my friend Pete, he was a catcher. He's like, what's wrong? I was like, and then we're on the way back home. I said, I couldn't describe because I never heard it. I was like, I don't know. I just couldn't see. And it was, I mean, I'm no joke. Wow. Every ball was hit to me and I couldn't see the ball. I'm out there, I'm trying to avoid it. It was crazy. I was like, this is, I didn't know how to describe it other than like somebody slowly do it. And then eventually, because what happens, I was trying so hard to get past it. I'm you know, squinting eventually. And then I get this really bad headache. So the whole rest of the game, I was messed up. The other time it happened was weird. I was in the control room. And once again, the clock comes. I'm like, I can't see the left side of the wall. So anything that's over there, I'm like, you feel like I'm peeking around corners, like, you know, trying to see it. Because I was like, this is insane. So,
What do you take for? What do you do when you know when it's coming on? Is there something take?
I don't have anything. I know when it's coming on. If I'm not doing anything, like if I'm driving, I just got to pull over and you know what I do is I pull over if I'm driving and just close my eyes and give myself about 10 minutes to kind of let it just pass. But if I'm doing
so they don't last all day then because Keith was talking about it doesn't like
my sister-in-law has one where she's out for a day. I mean, yeah, but for me it's just one of those deals where if I can not have to continue doing what I'm doing, then I can temper it. But when I was in sophomore in high school, I didn't know what the hell that was. I didn't know what nobody talked about migraines. And then as an adult, you know, in up here, I was like, oh my gosh, it's coming on. And I can't see the wall. I'm like, man, it's going to be a long show. You can't see. So eventually it passed, but it was a half hour show. It was towards the end, like the, almost like doing sports, like that's like the 20-minute mark, but it was like, it's long, it's hard.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, as I said, I mean, yeah, once you reach a certain age, we all have a little something, and you're adjusting to whatever. And now he's going to have to adjust to his new reality.
Keep that dosage going. Consistent in your system.
His wife get whatever she want when she asks for it. that's going to be the new reality. Before we... go. I guess have you guys been paying attention? I know you don't watch football, Derek, but you know Keith would be chiming in today about his Steelers getting Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, you know, ain't nobody. I mean, and I don't watch the game as everybody know, but ain't nobody excited about that. You know, like I said before, he is the Anita Baker of football. You know, Anita made one CD, one album off the charts. Got married, ain't get a goddamn rapture, nothing out of her ass. Instead, she on the stage fighting for more time, but she the one late. You know, that's what we get out of Anita now. Russell, ever since he been with baby girl, you know, she dressing the way she want. He can't throw a pass. He was better off in Seattle when he was doing this thing. Ain't nothing good gonna happen over there. Zero. He in love. Yeah. He in love. He don't want to be out there. He want to be with his family. It's over. Ain't nothing good gonna happen. Bring back the sexual abuser, that other guy.
He was cooked for easily for the last 4 years. He was cooked. I hope, and some people asked me at work, and I was like, what do you think? I said, I'm hoping that this is, first of all, it's a no-brainer because it doesn't cost you a thing. It costs you in the world of sports $1 million because Denver's paying $39 million of it. So you take a flyer because you didn't get good quarterback play last year. So why not throw a flyer on a guy like this who's going to cost you nothing for 1 year? If he strikes lightning in the bottle, then great. If not, what did it cost you? It cost you nothing. I'm hoping this is the Russ before he got paid. This is the I got to prove myself Russ. That was
well,
the
he's
early
on a proven
Seattle
deal. I mean, even though it didn't cost him nothing.
Yeah, the early Seattle Russ Because if it's corporate Russ and always worried about what he's saying, like what Sean Payton said, and Sean Payton was right and wrong. He was right about, you know, listen, stop out here trying to kiss every baby. You know, basically stop running for office. There's no office to run for. He told him that. I didn't like how he dressed him down on the sideline. But he did have a point of, listen, just be a football player. Because you listen to Russ speak and you don't believe anything he says. It's like it's all right. All contrived, always like, always looking for the camera, always making sure he doesn't. It's like sometimes you just got to say, go knock that MF out or, you know, get open. But he's always so PC that he has a tough time keeping that credibility in his locker room. Now, I'm not sure if he was like that before he got paid. But once he got the, you know, because that's the problem with the football system, the way it's set up. If you get those guys, you got to get them in the first 5 years before they got any kind of leverage or money. Because once they get that, it becomes hard to build a team around him. So I think Russ got his money. Some of the Seattle guys had to leave. He started to feel himself a little bit and his game couldn't hold up what he was feeling and it's made it harder on himself.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a mixed bag, but the bag is mostly good. And it's starting with the fact that they could pay him with the money they find in the couch. I say only $1 million, but for a professional franchise and a starting quarterback, $1 million is literally nothing. It's tip money. And then because they have a starting quarterback, they can still use, they got good draft picks. They still have most of their draft picks. They can draft a quarterback that can sit behind him for a year. Penix falls to him or McCarthy or somebody, they might have an opportunity to grab a quarterback in addition to having him. That's also going to be ridiculously cheap, you know, because you're going to get a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. So you got that guy for 5 years sitting in the room with Russ. If Russ balls out, you pay him, you know, because he's on a to your point, Mark, he's on a prove it deal. See, knows he purposely said, I'm signing for 1 year. Meaning that if I ball out, then I'm a free agent again next year.
You get the bigger midfield deal.
Go to a team. Right. And here's the other thing. Denver has to pay him next year too. So he's
can't they cut him and save some money though?
They cut him. That's how he's out here. But they still got to pay him his contract. He's got two more years on their cap. Wow. So if he signs for the league minimum next year, I think he makes like $50 million. They owed him 80. He gets like 40 this year, 39, and like 51, I think, next year. So he's owed a boatload of money. So he can sign with somebody who may have all the pieces for a championship team for $1 million, you know, with them in play. So it's all gravy. And I think quiet as it's kept, he hasn't been Seattle Russ, but Seattle hasn't been Seattle either. In the last, you know, once they lost the Legion of Boom and all those guys.
Yeah,
I think what people are not seeing is that in Denver, in a funky situation, this is the problem with him when he went to Denver. He got all the money. All the money went to him. All the draft pack picks went to Seattle.
Yeah,
and so suddenly they got a guy, but they couldn't build a team around this guy. They figured, okay, this is fine. This is a great move. And so the expectations with that big contract and all the draft pieces they gave away, it's hard to live up to. And then you had a rookie coach, who Nathaniel Hackett, who the Jets got to deal with now. I got him. His bum ass. So he was
horrible. They cut him loose? I thought they cut him loose. Yeah, I know.
They cut him loose the first year, and then they got Sean Payton, but Russell had to play through that first year.
Your Jets fans still have
Hackett? I still got Hackett. Yeah, Hackett. Yeah. No, Hackett didn't go
anywhere. You can't cut him loose because you got Aaron, so you can't.
So he's got, you know, Aaron's valet. So we got Aaron's valet.
It's like Rodman's, what's that guy's name? They always pair with Rodman. Jack Haley, I think it's whatever.
You take Rodman to get Jack Haley, just to watch
Rodman show out. Because he's going to show out. You know that. Now, how old is Russell, though? How much time he got left?
Russell's about 36.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. And I think the good analogy you said when Denver traded for Russell, because Denver prior to trading for Russell was a quote-unquote, they were a team on the company. It was just a quarterback away. But when you trade away capital to get him, it's, you know what it's akin to? It's when Carmelo didn't want to wait it out and took the money from Denver and then bitched and moaned and get the Knicks. So, you go to the Knicks, but everybody you wanted to play with went to Denver. So Right. That's the problem with that. So the good thing about the Steelers is they got him for $1 million and gave up nothing. That was sort of the downside of trading for Justin Fields. Yeah, we'll take a number two draft pick and some other stuff, but the people he'd want to play with or you want to keep, you got to give up in a Fields deal. In this deal, you're giving up zero. I mean,
giving up nothing and you keep everything. And
a 1 year deal, that's like nothing. Nothing. Yeah. I mean, that's if he balls out, great. You get the Baker Mayfield deal. If he doesn't, no harm, no foul. It didn't cost me anything anyway.
Just a meal.
Yeah. No, so for them, for Pittsburgh, I think it's a good deal. Like I said, they can still draft a quarterback if they want to. They got the picks to do it. They got the 51st pick, I think, and 50th and the 20th pick. So there'll be a quarterback available that they can get and bring in a room and they can keep Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett just has to, you know, sit behind him for a year. And if he improves, anyway. Okay. If not, then you let Bush go.
Stupid Canada for the 2 years. I said he's been poorly coached for those 2 years with having that high school coordinator, Matt Canada, there. So, yeah, maybe it's a whole lot of things could happen. But if you're a Steelers, you have a playoff team with, I think you had Pickett who was doing nothing, Trubisky who wet the bed for, I think, four games, whatever it was, and then Madoff. Mason Rudolph came on and played well. And everybody's like, oh, I'm going to keep him. Well, I know why I didn't keep him because he didn't play well the previous years. He was hard. he finally figured it out.
But so that's what you're getting. So you're getting, if nothing else, you're getting professional quarterback play.
Yeah.
You got two stud wide receivers play. You got tight two end. Stud running backs that can play. You're going to have the same defense. You know what? They two look like a playoff ends. Team. Unless,
the same coach, right? Same coach.
Yeah, he's on the last year's deal. But they're probably, if he wants to, they'll extend him. I'm not sure. There's sort of scuttlebutt. He may, you know, be maybe ready done. But I mean, he's been around forever. He's only 51 years old.
He's a young coach that came in there. I mean, you know, and Pittsburgh has only had what, like three coaches
in my lifetime.
Last 50 years, your whole life.
My lifetime.
Right.
Noel Coward, Tomlin.
Tomlin, yeah, that's it. So there's stability in the organization. The other people made moves. Matt Jones went down to Jacksonville.
It's good for him.
From New England. They got a sixth-round pick for him. So I bring that up because we just mentioned the Steelers. The guy that they were looking at, Justin Fields, who I think is an incredibly talented young man, just got rooked. He got a raw deal. He's you know, Chicago's ready to move on, but they thought they were going to be able to trade him. Now, Matt Jones, who's got, if you look at their stats, almost the exact numbers. In fact, Matt Jones has better numbers than Justin Fields, and they only got a sixth-round pick for Justin. Pittsburgh has got their guy for a year for a bag of donuts. you know, Justin's assed out. There's only two places, I think, left to go, and I think Kirk Cousins, you were talking about him off the air.
Yeah.
Mark, Kirk Cousins is about to get another bag in Atlanta. So he's not going there, which is where people thought he wanted to go. You know, go back home to Atlanta. They signed Kirk Cousins. And I think the only two teams that are available would be Minnesota and the Raiders that would be looking for a starting quarterback besides the Jets.
If I'm Justin, I want to work my way. I'd rather go to Minnesota to get myself – I'm not sure. I'm not sure who the offense coordinator is at with the Raiders.
But they have a good system. No, the Raiders.
Cousins. Because also,
you know who they got?
Who?
The guy for the Raiders is the same guy that was with him in Chicago. They fired the offensive coordinator in Chicago, and they hired him.
I'd rather go to Minnesota. I know it's cold there, but you get to play inside and you get to play with that boy Jefferson. And also, you get an offensive minded coach in. Got the guy O'Connell. I think Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell.
So he may even have more fun in Vegas, but he may be a better player in Minnesota
with the Vikings.
And that's how he'll get paid because, you know, if he goes to Minnesota and just balls out in it with the help, because you have the receiver and you'll have well coached, then he could parlay that into a nice little, you know, run of money. If you want to live in Minnesota.
I mean, you know, if you like Purple Prince, Purple Paisley, you know, that kind of deal. You know, hang out with Martha in time. And last one I thought was fairly interesting is Saquon Barkley going to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I just saw that. Yeah.
That's going to be good for them.
Yeah. That's a big time. I'm happy time for move.
Him. They didn't appreciate him in New York. He's a New York Bronx guy, Patterson Houses, but yo, they didn't want to sign him. It's time to move on. That's he's going to do deal. Very well. And you know when he come up to the Meadowlands, he's going to get up in that ass, man. Oh, y'all didn't want to pay me? I can show you. You know,
he's I think that's toughness.
That's a good deal.
Outstanding move on his Jalen's part. I'm glad to see it. Glad to see that whole thing happen. I'm glad he's moving there. Did you guys hear that it may not matter to you. It matters to me. They're trying to ban TikTok. Have you heard that?
Yep.
Yeah. I know you care. It's something care. With the I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's something where they feel that the Asians are looking in on us with the TikTok Chinese, or right. something like that, and they're spying on us. So, you know, they want to shut that down, man. You know, we don't want to be giving up no secrets to the folks, you know.
Google is spying on us. I don't care what I'm talking
I'm just
about.
Saying what they say, what the streets are saying. It ain't me. I don't watch it that much.
But all these things, man. I know about Alexa is like, you know, suggesting things to me. Like I'm like, yeah, are you paying attention to what I'm saying? Or I know like the phone, like you know, Siri will be suggesting things to me that like I'm like, you know, I had this conversation 2 weeks ago. Why you dipping in my conversation? Google, every time you look at your Google. It's stuff that, you know, they suggesting things that you may have had a conversation about or popped up or whatever.
These
or
if you're thinking about buying some item,
and always the ads is always what you're thinking about buying. So all these people are listening to
you. Yeah, but it's American companies that they're saying with TikTok. I thought it was owned by a Chinese company. That's what I thought. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, it's the guy that owns it, I think, is from Singapore. And I think that he might have some Chinese, there might be some Chinese.
Yeah, so I think they're saying, you know, listen, like, put it this way, I understand their concern. I also understand your point of view. I'm online. I have a social media, I guess, presence, if you want to call it that. But once I kind of gave in to having my, I'm an Android guy, having my stuff all done by Google, I'm a Pixel guy, I just assume that everybody's looking all the time, anytime. So I don't really trip about them saying, well, they're dipping in on me. I mean, you walk in or you enter Manhattan, you're in constant surveillance. I'm on my phone, I know I'm in constant surveillance. I know I'm physically in my building in surveillance. Only time I'm not in surveillance is in my house, provided my phone is turned off. So right. I just assume at this point, you know what? I'm kind of giving in and I just got to hope that no bad actors take my stuff and AI my voice to dupe my kids to think I'm being turned in for a hostage and getting ransom money. Not that they have any money to pay up, but you know, that's what I love.
For those of you that are not aware of that, that's actually happened. Yes, it's a new scam where they kidnap somebody, use the AI voice.
If they kidnap somebody.
Yeah. They fake.
They say, listen, they'll call up and say, hey, listen, we got your brother here and it's, and you got to give us X amount of dollars, and then they'll play my brother's voice that sounds just like him. And I think, oh my gosh, so I got to give him this. Meanwhile, it's just AI his voice, but it sounds like
his my voice, brother. Yeah.
So you think, oh, damn. Now, I will tell you right now, if that call comes, you will have to really, really, really prove to me that it's you. You have to say some things that I know, oh, that's my brother. Because it's just like, hey, Mark, they need the money. You ain't getting out. You gotta come with something real.
They gonna keep him. They gonna keep him. They gonna.
You know what it'd be like though for all of us. I'm gonna say for all of y'all. For all of us.
Exactly.
Like, we used to play Monopoly. We used to play Monopoly and we land on Boardwalk.
Right.
Start begging and be like, yo, how much? How much is it?
What you want for?
Yeah.
I ain't got it. I mean, and I think what the families that they do call probably have those type of resources where they can get that type of dough. Because I mean, you could call. I mean, what. You could call me, but you know, I'm like, what do you want me to do? I mean, if I don't get them, I ain't got it. What can we lower the payment? something I could work with you know? Because I mean, if you ain't got it, you ain't got it.
That's
right?
Even scamming. What they throw out a wide net. They throw out a wide net and figure somebody will buy in, especially like
when you take $100, I can give you $100. But
so the older people, the grandparents, that's how they really get you. You know, I got your grandson here and such and such. And, you know, hey, grandma. And then, you know, grandma feels bad. And next thing you know, she give up her check and she's gone. But it's a little backtrack to the Monopoly game with my brother. Man, those games would be over. Like, say, because he'd have everything. But it worked. he would, make it last another hour by taking payments. Okay, fine. So give me 500. How about you give me 100? So I got to go around the board another. So you go around the board another time. All right. How about you give me those railroads? Okay, let's keep thinking. It's the ultimate loan shark because you never get out of it. I've never gotten out. Once you're in that hole, you're in that hole. But you get thinking.
He's the mob. He's the mob. Yeah, he's charging you the big, man.
Maybe I could just, you know, maybe if I just get, oh, damn, I got a 7 versus a 6. Now, and it became to the point of like, now what do you want? Well, you know, I'll be nice. How about you just give me one block? Yeah. Yeah. The game that was an hour long becomes 2 hours long because he wants to
punishment. Make you suffer, out, man. Make you suffer.
The same thing. It's you did with
Monopoly. Risk. Monopoly means you own it all, right? And then Monopoly, you control it.
Monopoly, man. Yeah.
Right. You can't quit. No. There's no quitting. IHOP. You just got to play that ass until you got literally no dollars left. You don't quit.
Until you zero out.
Yeah. You can't say you can't forfeit. You just got that in that stupid ass game Risk. Same day. I got an army left. He's got the world. And I got to roll my dice for my one army. You can't say, yeah, game over. There's no, hey, you got this.
Oh, God.
We do the same thing in Madden. We could be up like 700 to nothing. We playing to the last second.
You gonna take this beating.
Let's play a little
beat. We've done it both ways. Yeah, I call a timeout. Sure. If I'm down 70 to nothing, yeah, and I got a chance to get the ball back one more time, I'm calling timeouts.
Yeah.
For what?
For what? You're down 70 to nothing. It's over.
No, we just played out.
It ain't over until it's over.
Shit. So it's no mercy rule. Like, because when you play in CYO basketball, it's like the mercy rule. You got to pull the pressure off. You're up 15, you got to pull it back.
No.
We used to do like the 21 rule. If you got up by 21 points and you didn't score in your next possession, the game was over.
Yeah, we used to do that. We haven't done that in a while. We probably should do that. We'd probably get a lot more games in.
Ain't nobody coming back.
The game, what happens is we play so much, you know, it's there are no surprises anymore. You know, there's no more surprises. He knows what I'm going to do. I know what he's going to do. Yes, and so, you know, you just, you know, something happens. If once the dam breaks and you get up, then you're like, oh, okay. You know, then it's on. But like, you know, there's no more surprises.
Gotcha.
Two more things before we cut out. National Guard has been in the New York City subways. There's a blowback. Our governor, Kathy Hochul. I hope you're listening because you ain't our guy, you know, Mr. Cuomo.
My former guy.
Governor Andrew. Yeah, our guy. Andrew Cuomo. I love Andrew Cuomo. I said if he ran again, I would vote for him.
Okay, we need to go back to some of the tape, but continue on. Okay.
No. You try to defend the indefensible. Like, you know.
I remember you getting on this case, man, where those allegations came up that have not been proven with them young ladies. You wasn't on, you know, I'm the guy who defends him. I don't remember you defending him.
You defended Bill Cosby.
I don't remember you defending my man. You know, those allegations, he beat those charges, man, and she kind of kept quiet. She never spoke up for him, man. But I'm a ride with her, though. She's been doing okay.
Anyway, I guess because of crime in the city, she wants people to feel, I guess in her mind, it was a good thought. She wanted people to feel safe in the subways. And so she put the National Guard and armed state troopers and the New York City Emergency Services cops down there with machine guns in the subway, which is not really making us feel safe. It's giving... This is the blowback. This is the pushback that people are saying is giving the people on the right wing who claim that these cities are dystopian hellscapes where crime is running rampant. You know, listen, this is New York City. There's 10 million people here. Things are going to happen. 10 million people living in close proximity. Things are going to happen.
Yeah.
But New York as a city is safer than New Orleans. It's safer than Memphis, is safer than Birmingham, is safer than cities, a lot of these cities in the South that, you know, the so-called red states. But in New York, you know, like I said, there's 10 million of us. We live close together. The things are going to happen. There's going to be property crime. There's going to be crimes of passion. There's going to be crimes of violence. It's going to be, it's just going to happen. People living in close proximity are going to do things to each other. I just don't feel comfortable in a subway with the chaos. And everybody is standing in, you know, armed to the teeth. I don't know how that's a good look. I don't know what she was thinking, how she thought it was a good look.
But what happened, you know, my guy, the E double, he says, I'm not, something wrong with you, Mark? You know, there's no body
language. No. That's your guy. That's my guy.
The E double said, I'm not refusing to help. Just give me the money in overtime. And then my guys can police, because that's what we do. We just need funding. She decided to go against E and says, I'm going to put all these machines. That's a tense situation. I'm swiping the Metro card. And
that's nice.
Chad is armed up. You know, I'm okay seeing the police. That's their job. But when you see these other folks who don't look like us coming into our city to police us, it wasn't a good look. Give E and the police department the funds for the overtime and let them do their job, because they can do it. They can do it.
It's an overreaction to a common sense problem. Yeah, simply just either increase your police force or, yes, say pay some overtime. But to put that in there, it's a boot for an ant. You don't need the boot to kill an ant. It's just ridiculous. And it, once again, it's the asinine reaction to something simple. I always laugh when you look at the plastic bags and it says, do not let your child play with it. Well, I need a lawyer to come up with a law to print that on a bag to prove that's what I shouldn't do. You don't need the National Guard to say, hey, let's kind of police this. It's just an overkill. And it always blows my mind when politicians do stuff like that, or companies do it with the case of, don't let your child play with this plastic bag.
Full disclosure, as a child, there was more than one time where I took a plastic bag and put it over my head to make faces
I'll take that. No, I won't take. But you took the bag. It wasn't like Ma and Dad said, here's a bag to play with. You went and grabbed the bag. Right. It's different from a child taking a bag because the child's not going to read it versus an adult saying, here you go.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell y'all have never put the bag over your head. It was like, look, watch me breathe it in, breathe it out.
Nah. I never did that. Now, I did make the noise with it, make it pop. Okay. But I ain't put it on my head.
You didn't do that, Mr. Choke. No. Mr. Skipper Grade.
I needed to know some shit. I had to find out. Okay. Now I know, and I won't be doing it no more.
Now I don't.
Last thought before we cut out. You went to the Knicks game, huh, Derek?
Yeah, man.
That ass whoop last night. I'm laughing at that score because 79-73 is far from
that's a college ass game. I thought I was
college, that's high school.
It was crazy. But what I will tell you, man, it was electric in there. Last night, I understand why Dolan, if he doesn't win, it's no big deal. This place sells out. Mm. And the noise that they make in there, I've never heard anything like that in my life. And I've been in the Garden on plenty of times.
Wow.
It was crazy. And this is what's scary, though. You know, I was complaining about buying popcorn at the movies. Exactly. The lines at the concession stand, I'm like, where they getting this money from? M&M's, $5. The little red Twisters, $5. They say it's a jumbo hot dog, but it's only regular hot dog. $9. And the lines are long. They're buying paraphernalia. I mean, everybody's dressed in Nick gear. And I'm like, where are they getting this money from?
Where were you sitting? Were you sitting kind of high up? Or like, did you have like, quote unquote, good seats or like normal? Like,
as much as I love these folks and I love them unconditionally, yesterday was my best friend's birthday. And his wife got him some tickets for the game. And his wife is a fan of the game, and I have to say this, And I should have saw this coming, but you know, I just thought the way he put it to me, she's a Delta, like our auntie, and they got some sort of line, she said, that's going on. So she said, nah, I can't make it. You know what? Let your friends go. It's your birthday. So you know me, it's your birthday. I'm like, shit, man, I'm on the flow. Man, I kept going up that goddamn escalator, man. When you sitting in the seat, you up so high and the little small ceiling is at your head like this. I'm like,
oh, man.
And this cat is, and he's 6'8". I'm like,
oh, man. Oh, it's Andre. It was Andre.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, what kind of birthday present is this? This is
bullshit. But when it comes to environment and fun, that level there is off the chain.
That's great.
And I guess that was, maybe she wanted us to experience that. Because damn it, we experienced the fun up there. But
being, you gotta watch the TV to watch the game.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You gotta watch the Jumbotron. You ain't watching the floor.
It was wild. So anyway, what they did at the Garden now, when you at that high level, we couldn't go no more. There was some more a real seat, you couldn't go no more. But what they did at the Garden, they built like concessions right over top of us. So you walk up about 8 stairs, and there's another level where you could stand, and if you're lucky to get a seat and watch the game from there. So we went up there and stuck, you know, I got a picture, I posted it. We're standing, we're directly underneath the jerseys, the retired jerseys, but that's a whole new level.
That's the rafters.
Didn't I say the ceiling was right here? That's the goddamn rafter. Look, I'm 6 feet, and I'm like, I ain't want to complain. I'm like, you know, I'm going to the game, but I'm thinking, word is bond. It's your birthday. I know at least I'm halfway down, because that's why I don't go to games. I'm like, if I can't be down there, I'm not going. I couldn't get no higher. And then when you were a kid, because remember, those were the $8 seats when we were kids.
Right.
It's circus. Okay when they shut off the escalators at the end of the game. You got to walk down when you were a kid. You know, they still shut off the escalators, man. I'm like,
oh, so you got to walk down upstairs.
Your legs is mixed up. I'm like, this is a bullshit. But that environment is crazy with the noise, what they got going on. We got to get our starters back. But you guys didn't have Maxie last night either.
No Maxie, no Joe.
But we got to get our starters back. But I did see why Dolan, if he just has a mediocre team like he does in New York, he's always going to sell out. He's always going to make his money. It was incredible, the environment. I loved it.
I look at the pictures now. You up there.
The ceiling, I wish I'd have took a picture with the ceiling at my head. I'm like, what the fuck? I felt bad for my boy. He's sitting there, he crunched up like this. I'm like, and this is what's crazy. Our row was filled. When you couldn't even like put your coat, it was packed.
Right.
You couldn't even put your coat somewhere. It was packed. I'm like,
let me paint the picture for our listeners who do not live in New York City. First of all, Madison Square Garden. They say square. It's not a square. It's a big round. It's a big giant cylinder.
Right.
It looks like somebody cut a Coke can in half, mm-hmm. and then just set it right there on 7th Avenue. And so to get upstairs, I mean, the building is been there for over 60 years. Easy, 60, 70 years. Because Guard moved. It was an old Garden. They moved it to the current location. And, you know, it's an old building. So, but it always, I mean, they refurbished it and, you know, kind of, you know, did, you know, minor improvements. But it's always electric. And I've been to, as you said, Derek, I've been to a lot of games there. Mm-hmm. I've never sat that high to watch a game because I would not go to a game by the city.
I didn't know.
Bent over, I would be sitting there. But it is electric, and the fans are electric. But yeah, it everything you describe is hilarious. It is you know, when you're that high up in Madison Square Garden, imagine it being in a big giant oval circle, because that's how the seats are. Like I said, the building is round, but the actual arena itself, kind of oval shaped, you know. You know, and obviously it's got stadium seating, so the seats go up, but the stairs are kind of vertical. I mean, you know, for like different landings, but as you walk up the stairs, they are kind of vertical. You go, you literally marching your ass to, you know, Stairway to Heaven. That's what it is. It's Led mm-hmm. Zeppelin song. And when you get that high and you turn around, you know, you don't turn around when you're walking up there, but when you finally sit down and turn around, look down at the seat, at the floor,
it's crazy.
It's ants. You watching ants. Ants play basketball. You hear it more than you see it.
And that's what it was. And what's crazy, one of my partners, he's like the president of community affairs that go out, you know, with the kids in the summer. I hit him up when I'm there. And I'm like, he's like, yo, what section you in? I'm like, 4-something. He's like, 4-something? Like, yeah, man. I said, Dre just got the tickets out. I'm going to come on up here. So, of course, you know, he gets up there. He's like, man, why y'all ain't tell me earlier? I said, nigga, I didn't know I was coming earlier to tell you. He said, I could have got you lower. I'm like, well, can you get us lower? Nah, it's too late, man. You said, yo, P, you got to call me. I said, well, Dre just told me this morning about the ticket. And, you know, but like I said, just the environment was worth it. But the fact that you got to go up that high at my age, and I know I could have paid and got a little bit lower. That was a little bit uncomfortable, but I wouldn't have traded for the world. I'm with my man on his birthday, my boy, my homie, for since we like 7, so it was great. Now, I didn't realize this because I'm not out at the city at night because the game is a 6 or 7 o'clock game. I get out 9:30. It's a homeless situation. It's real. It's real around the garden. It's real. So now my head is on a swivel. Because I got to walk to 27th Street by FIT where I parked the goddamn car at because it's free parking on Sundays. And I'm limping. I'm 60.
Just park in the garage.
It's free yeah, on 27th
Street. My fault. I don't know why I'm talking. Yeah. I forgot.
You know,
when I parked 20 blocks to pay $20.
When I was parking, it was daytime. I didn't know. Shoot.
No.
It's crazy.
That's a fact. I used to get, you know, you guys know, I used to go into that building every day, and I used to get there at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so 5 o'clock in the morning is just, you know, it's just the overnight. I mean, you have to walk past, walk through, walk around, and I'd be, I took the express bus from Staten Island, I took the Long Island Railroad from Long Island, and either way, you have to walk through, up and around, and over, and they're everywhere. It is bad.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, let me just say this before we cut out. To me, in terms of live sporting events, if you like basketball, even if you don't like basketball, you should go to Madison Square Garden to watch a Knicks game at some point in your life. They parodied it. You know, they always do a parody of it. I know, like Will Ferrell did that, and the other guys. I mean, it's like sitting, you know, in that arena. It is electric. Mm-hmm. Yankee playoff baseball. I've never been to a playoff game, but I've been to like Yankee games in August when they're down. You know, when it's the playoff push. I haven't been to the new stadium, but that is another electric building when it's jumping. But to me, those are the two hot tickets for sports. And my son went to a Rangers game. He said it's the same kind of
electricity. I hear hockey electricity. Is incredible.
I could imagine.
That's what they say. Hockey is just amazing in person. It used to be cheap. Now it's expensive hell. But it used to be cheap.
And you know what's crazy? What's still going on outside? Who got tickets? Who got Nick tickets? We got Nick tickets. I'm like, niggas, y'all still scalping the same people when I was a kid. Who got Nick tickets? Nick tickets. I'm like, yo, everything is electronic now. Who is actually going to give you money for a ticket? I don't know. But that is still going on. It's still going on.
That's for the out-of-towners and for the people who are dying to be scammed. I mean, because like you said, it's electronic. Who's going to buy a ticket off the street from some dude?
Open my wallet to some random guy, right? You know, snatch and run.
Yeah. Nick tickets. We got Nick tickets. Who got Nick? And I'm like, niggas, y'all still here? Y'all ain't doing nothing different yet, man. But they are out there. The vendors. It's just, I wouldn't go to another night game. If I had to drive, I would definitely take the Metro North End. Yeah, because I ain't doing it. That walk is a little, at 60, I ain't no young kid, you know. I'm like, yo, I can definitely get hemmed up. I'll take the Metro North. But I'll definitely do a daytime game because you got the vendors outside. They selling everything you could possibly imagine. And their Knicks gear look like the regular Knicks gear. Ain't nobody looking inside my t-shirt to see where I got it from. It looks really official. 100% cotton. Yeah. I couldn't stop. No, you bought some stuff. Listen.
You didn't buy no stuff.
I had to walk back. 27%. Somebody took my stuff, man. I couldn't run and chase them, so I couldn't get no kids, man. That's why I said I got to do a daytime game, and then I got my bag, and I'm comfortable. But at night, nah, man, they hit me up out there, man. I want nothing to do with that.
Okay, happened on 7th Avenue. Where did you park?
I park. You know what FIT is? I'm on 27th between...
Straight down the block.
Between 7th and 8th.
Okay.
But when you ain't used to being outside of that house, I'm not used to being... I'm in my house with the alarm on at 8:30. I ain't got no business walking into Manhattan. And it's like, it's busy. It's a lot of people out there. And I'm like, am I the only one going to bed early now? You know how we always say, we the guys now, get off my lawn. Last night solidified that for me. Get off my goddamn lawn. I don't want nothing to do with that hustle and bustle at that time of night. Nah. Them young Thundercats. I ain't see no police out there, goddamn it.
That's because they're in the subway. you gotta go to.
Hey. You're right.
Listen, if you have not subscribed to Power to the People, make sure you do. Anywhere you get your podcast, you can get us. You can find us on social media at Power to the Peeps on Twitter, on X, I guess, POWELL, the number 2, the letters DAPEEPS, Power to the Peeps. You can find us on Facebook at Power to the People on Facebook. You can find us all on Instagram, and you will hopefully see us all back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We'll see you then. Peace.